To the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 13. As we share together, before we go downstairs, I want you to keep it at the back of your heart that your God is way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in the darkness. And you can continue to define him depending on who he is and what he is in your life. He specializes in making ways where there seems to be no way. He specializes in doing miracles that no one can ever imagine. He's an expert in keeping promises. When there is confusion, he is the light in darkness. Awesome God that we serve. In Luke chapter 19 that we are focusing at, where our team came from, do business till I come, talks about the story, the parable Jesus Christ was explaining to his disciples. Luke 19, verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 what? Say it louder. I'm hearing different version. I had minors, I have minors. Which, on business day, which one are we going for? Dollars. Not. If you say 10 naira and $10, one carries more weight. Okay, can you call it talent, gift, abilities, you know, revelation, anything you can call it? This man was going on a journey, and he called 10 of them, and he said to them, let's say it together, do business till I come. Do business with this thing I'm giving you. Don't stop that business until when I come. When you read this story from verse 12 through verse 27, because of time we won't be able to read it, it tells you indeed what Jesus Christ is trying to say to the church today. This man was going the way. He called his servant. He gave them talent. He gave one 10. He gave one 5. He gave another one 1. He gave it like that. As we are sitting down here, we have God's deposit in our life. There are things that God has put in you and I, and he wants us to reproduce, to do business. Let me ask you a question. Why do you do business? To what? Speak it with confidence. To make profit. Do you see somebody that opened a business and said, hey guys, I opened this business. I don't want to make any profit. I just want to give everything out. He gave us our life to do business with it, to make profit until it comes. Let me tell you, brethren, there is nothing wrong in making profit. Our life, when we go further, we see Jesus even make it, he made it clear that you are to make profit with your life. That is why you can't just do anything with your life, anything you want. You can't, because you don't own it, because you will give account what you do with it. The Bible says he went so far away, and after some time, the man came back. He now called the servant. The one that he gave 10 talents to, give account. And that man said, you gave me this, now I have additional 10 with it. You know what he said to him? Good job. I will put you in charge of 10 cities. He called the other one with 5 talents, and that one came back and said, I made another 5 with it. Excellent. See, Jesus is so interested in profit as well. God himself is happy when we are making profit with what he has given us. Not when you are wasting it. He now called the other servant. You know what that one said to him? Master, you gave me this. I kept it for you. I didn't touch it. I didn't mess it up. I didn't destroy it. It's still clean. The way you gave me, the way I'm giving it back to you. Because I know you. You like to make profit when and where you did not invest. You know what the master said? Take from him what he has. Give it to this other one that made profit. Because when you have the gift, the revelation, the presence of God, the abilities, the talent of God, and you did not make use of it, it will be taken from you and give to those that have great customer service skills. Those that can make profit. We're hearing about evangelism, how to go out and present what you have unto others so that they too, that is doing business. I want to make some typology here, and I want you to come with me. This man that went on a trip and gave talent to a servant is a type of Jesus Christ. The faraway country that he went is a type of heaven. The servant that he called and gave them talent is a type of Christians. The citizens of the land, because the Bible talks about the citizens of the land, they hate him. They didn't want him to be the king over them. But he went, he became king, he came back and ruled over them. The citizens are the unbelievers. And the talent, the minus that was given, is the life that you and I have, that we are to make profit with. The man returns is signifying the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had gone. In the Bible, in this book, the Bible did not mention how long this man went for or when he will return. No one knows the time of his appearance, but he is coming. Amen? Yes, he is coming. The servants were called and they began to give account of what they do with the talent that he gave them. That is signifying the Bema seat of judgment that every believer will appear. Not judgment of sin, because we remember the eschatology teaching, there is no sin in you as believers. But we are all going to give account of what we do with the life that he has given us. The talent, the gift, the time, the abilities, everything that God has given you. What you do with it. We give account of it. That is the Bema seat judgment. He commanded that the citizens, those who did not love him and did not want him to be the king, he commanded them to be destroyed. That is talking of the great white throne judgment. Because every unbeliever will be judged. As believers, we receive reward at the Bema seat of judgment, the unbelievers, their own judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And that is the end of it. We're not doing eschatology today, so don't worry. I'm just bringing this illustration and the relationship of this parable to the doctrine of eschatology that we've been talking about. Our life is important because God gave us this life, and He expects us to do something with it. That is why you cannot just, if He gives you the ability to plan, plan well. If He gives you the ability to talk, talk well. If He gives you the ability to smile, use it well. Whatever God has given you, He knows why He gave you that. Some people, God gave them quietness. And that quietness will be useful in their homes, in their marriages, in the lives of their spouse, of their children, in the body of Christ, wherever God put them. Use it well, because you will give account. Do business till I come. Our purpose is to be profitable. Everybody say profitable. Yeah, profitability is fulfilling. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you see what God says right there. God said, come, let us create man in what? Our image. Genesis 1, 26. Let us create man in our what? So that they can what? Take dominion. So they can take dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion. So they can take dominion over everything else that I've created. Because I want man to make profit. When you take dominion, you are exercising the power of God in your life to yield profit unto His glory. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who what? Teaches you to what? To profit. To profit. God wants you to make profit. When He puts you in that marriage, He wants you to make profit in that marriage. When He calls you a mother, He wants you to make profit with that motherhood. When He calls you in the body of Christ, whatever they ask you to do right there, He puts you in there for you to make profit with it. You are not just there by accident. You are there to make impact. I can say boldly today that do business till I come is otherwise say, meaning make impact until I come. Let me ask you to look at the person sitting next to you. Have you ever made impact in that person's life since you've been seeing each other? Is there something that has come from you to that person? Look at, feel free, look at the person. Look. If that person never made any impact in you, tell them, to be honest with you, you haven't done anything. You have to be sincere. But you know what? It's not too late. It's not too late. Go back to that scripture. It is not too late. Did you see that, your neighbor? Now, I'm not talking of spouses sitting together. Okay. We know you always make impact. But if you're not making impact in your spouse's life, hey, today you make a U-turn. You got to make a U-turn. If your spouse is not making impact yet, tell him he's talking to you. Praise God. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should. How do you make profit? He will lead you. He will lead you. And when He leads you, that is when He inspire you, that is when he instructs you, that is when he guides you, and you take a step following that instruction, he is teaching you to make profit. I'm telling you, the return will be more than 100%. Our lives are valuable, very important. It's not cheap. It's not ordinary. Don't ever look down at yourself. I want you to esteem what God has given you. Cherish what God has given you and use it well. He will teach you to make profit with it. We are to make profit. Don't just say, me, I just want to be here. Share the grace. I'm out. I don't know nobody. I don't do God. I just want to go. I just want to serve God. No, you got to make profit. You got to make profit. He called you for a purpose. You are not rich. How many people are rich here? How many people are rich? Rich. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you are rich, can you give me $500? One of you that, raise your hands. Hurry up, hurry up. I need $500. So you can write that check. Just sign it and bring it. Praise the Lord. Who can tell me why you are rich? Who is here that is rich? How many investments you have? How many companies? How many vehicles? How many houses you have? Yes, Sister Meg, you have 10 houses? Praise the Lord. You are not rich because you have 5 vehicles. You are not rich because you own a building in America. You are not rich, let me tell you, you are not rich even before because you have Jesus. Are you confused? I said, let me repeat it. You are not rich because you have Jesus. You can't take me to court. I will defend myself. Listen, brethren, you are rich because of the number of people you had influenced your life with, because of that Jesus that you have. What is the point of having Jesus and you are not impactful? Seriously? That is why I'm saying that you can't say you have Jesus, I'm rich. What are you doing with it? That life of Jesus that you have, how are you impacting others? How many people have been successful because of your success? Because of your position? Because of what God has given you? How many people have you used that for? To bring them out. If you are not impacting other life, your success is just failure in disguise. It's like beautifying failure to look like something good. It is not real. There is no success in that. Success is measured by how many people can say that, yes, it touched me. Yes, it touched me. Yes, it touched me. Yes, it wiped my tears. Yes, it gave me something. Yes, it blesses me. How many people right in this small community that we have? What have you done with the ability, with the talent, with the gift, with the position that he gave you? How many people have made it in life because of your own success? So we cannot just say that because I have Jesus, rich. Honey, do something. Impact life. Get up and act. We are called to impact. He said, do business until I come. Impact life until I come. Stop bringing people down. Start bringing people up. That is impacting life. You don't have to carry money before you impact life. You have already what you need to impact your neighbor. It's in you already. From the time you changed your life and gave your life to Jesus Christ, it is not your life anymore. You have a different life, the life of Christ. When we go further, you will see how Moses was crying, shouting unto the Lord when they were about to part the Red Sea. And God said to Moses, "Why are you calling me? What is in your hand? Lift it up." When you lift up Jesus, he said, "When I'm being lifted up, I withdraw." You gotta lift up Jesus in your life. The way you talk, the way you relate with people. I want to tell you that being anointed, being educated, being full of energy, being whatever degree you have, doesn't guarantee you being impactful. Somebody can be anointed and not be impacting lives. You need to put strategies in place. There are strategies, otherwise you will be anointed but you will not do. There are things we need to consider, and that's what I'm going to go over very, very briefly before we go, because we need to understand this and not just claiming and declaring the promises. We have to do something. He wants us to do something with it. He anointed us for a reason. He blessed us for a reason. He gave us this ability for reasons, and he wants us to use them not according to our own way, but as he leads. As he leads. It's very, very important. John chapter 14, verse 6. The first strategy that I want to ask that we ensure it's in place in order for us to be impactful is to build a relationship. Everybody say relationship. Relationship is important. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We must have relationship with Jesus Christ in order to know God. Nobody knows God on their own except through Jesus. He opens your eyes, he comes into your life, then your life is changed. We have a lot of people out there today. I know God. You cannot know God except you come through Jesus. So, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says something. "I can do all things, including being impactful." Through what? Through Christ. You see now, the ability to be impactful, the ability to make impact in people's life comes from him. And if you don't know him, if you are not in relationship, you can never, never receive that strength. Then you will be using energy, force to impact life, and it will not work. It will lead to stress, frustration. You will be exhausted because you are the one that will be doing it. You are the one that will be doing it. But I can do all things. I can influence others. I can be a blessing to others. I can lead others to Christ. I can bring people up through Christ who strengthens me. So the foundation right here is to be in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed. Not just having a biblical name. Not just being born in a Christian family. Not just being serviceable in the church. No, have a cordial relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Relationship is important. In the business world, it is called building networking. If you want to do business, if you don't have networking, you are on an island. You ain't going nowhere. You cannot just move from here more than that. But if you build networking, you connected here, you know each other, you have an association, you attend a meeting, you are involved, you are well known, you will get referral, you will refer as well. That is networking. Networking is important. Spiritual networking is being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are connected with Him, He will be the one putting you all over, even to places where you had never been to. Yes. You know, He can talk to people about you. He can lead people your way. Building spiritual network. Being connected. Being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ is important. When you have relationship with Him, then you can relate with men. It is hard to relate with men if you don't really have a relationship with the Lord. It will take up for years. Then it's over. I'm telling you the honest truth. But when you are in relationship with Him, He will be the one. It's like husband and wife, it is He that will help you how to marry your spouse. He will be giving you ideas. He will be teaching you what to do, where to go, how, when to keep quiet, when to speak, and how to say it, right? That is why marriage is fun in the Lord. I see some people smiling like, Marriage is good. Younger ones, get married. You two, join us in the school. We can't be there alone. You have to join us in this college. Everyone is to go through this. It is really a school. Real school. School indeed. Full of fun. It is fun when you are receiving guidance, instruction from you. Because challenges will come. You'll be like, Lord, I hope I got it right. Yes. And it will tell you, yes, you're on the track. I will help you. Do this. Say this, go here, and it will be guiding you. And by the time you know, you are laughing and smiling again, as if nothing ever happened. Yes. When you are in relationship with Him, your life will become so unique. That is when you will now begin to relate with people. Because you cannot make impact in people's life if you don't relate with them. But don't forget where I'm coming from. You cannot relate with people if you are not relating with Christ. If you are not in relationship with Him. Because you can't do it. You will give up. Because when man shows you whom he is, you will be discouraged. But when you are receiving strength from Him, He will be teaching you how to relate. And then you will be having fun. People will be looking at you. Why are you and this guy still close for 20 years? How are you doing it? Do you know that some people can be friends, but by the time they start living together, in 1 month, it's wahala. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That relationship is important. When He is in your life, when you are relating with Him, and He is your leader, He is your guide, He is giving you instruction, you will see yourself as a leader and not a manager. There is difference between the two. I was sharing with the youth one time. They said managers do things right, leaders do the right thing. There is huge difference between being a manager and being a leader. We are called to be a leader and not managers. Managers do things right. Leaders do the right thing. Let me illustrate this so that we understand it. As I'm standing right here and preaching, I call one of the ushers. Can you go to the back, please, Brother Chris, and tell the people at the back they are disrupting the service. This is a manager. The manager comes, go to the back. Guys, pastor say you are disturbing. Can't you people see? Can't you see that you are disturbing the service? Can you just move back and stop making noise? We are not here for that. We are here for the service. He carried out the instruction. That is the manager. He do things right. What he did right is to carry this message and deliver it just like that. Go to the back, tell people that are there, they are disrupting the service. Now a leader comes. A leader goes there. Hey guys, how are you doing? Do you know that you are disturbing the service? Can you please close the door? Or can you speak in a low tone of voice? Okay? are discussing something very, very important. Now, do you see the difference between the two? Indeed, the leader right there did the right thing. Managers focus on the instruction, getting the job done. A leader focus on person and the task. In the process of delivering the message, the two of them did the right, they did what was asked them to do, but one considered and focused on person, but the other one focuses on the job, the task. They asked me to tell you, you are making noise. You guys, you are too mature than this. But the leader comes focusing on the person. He doesn't want to lose that person. And he still wants to carry the task out effectively. And the presentation now makes a lot of difference. When you are relating with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gives you instruction and how to relate with others, you will make sense. And they will see your point. Do you know that when the manager comes and delivers that message, somebody can get up right there and say, what are you talking about? Am I your child? See the way you're talking to me? Then another chaos will begin and the service will be really and really and really be interrupted. Praise the Lord. We are leaders. That is why you look at your neighbor, at your brothers, before you carry that message out, not just to get the job done, but you want to carry them along. You don't want to lose them. His soul is precious. Very, very important. And when you have relationship with him, you will see how he will be expanding you. Because he wants us to profit physically, he wants us to profit in our marriages, he wants us to profit spiritually, he wants us to profit materially. He wants to satisfy us, not only one aspect. All the four angles of life, he wants us to make profit. He wants us to come out the best. See this dude now, he just passed his board. Don't you know that is a step up for him? I'm sure his wife is so excited that, hey, money is coming. My friend, money is good. Why did you think, when you are in choir, you will be singing here, he will stay downstairs, he will be reading, waiting for you for choir to finish, so he will take you home. I saw him a couple of times. He stayed downstairs and be reading. He would be pacing, going up and down, going up and down. I said, this guy really wants to pass. He knows what he's looking for. Good thing is good. Say amen. Amen. Profit. You must make profit. Listen, all of us in businesses, we are making profit. Amen. Nobody is filing bankruptcy here. We are to make profit. If you don't start a business yet, if God is not putting you it in your heart, your life is business already. Stay where he wants you to stay. But those of us that he is expanding you into the other side to now start an organization, a firm, I want you to be bold and take the step of faith and act accordingly, because it will empower you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you have that relationship with him and you now go into being an organization, establishing a firm, you are a ministry going into business, not a business coming into ministry. There is difference between the two. When you are a ministry going into business, you are going with the awareness that you represent Christ and you are presenting Christ in your organization. The way you will manage people, the way you will lead people, the way you will influence people, the way you will coordinate, everybody wants to work with you. I'm telling you the honest truth. Everybody wants to work with you, because when they come to work, they don't even feel like they came to work. They feel like they are in the family. The relationship is there because the mindset is different. without the relationship with him, and you go into business, into an establishment, you are going with the gain perspective of it, then you will lose the relational part of it, and you cannot be fulfilled as you want or as he wants you to be. Number two, the second strategy, John chapter 15 verse 5. John chapter 15 verse 5, Jesus is saying something right here. John 15 verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For what? Without me, you can do nothing. Brethren, please, I am begging us, this strategy is very, very important. This second strategy is very, very important. Learn to say no. Everybody say that. That is recognizing your boundary. If you want to make impact in life, you need to learn when to say no and actually say it. Note that we are not the savior of the whole world. When he calls you, he equips you. When he sends you, he follows you. Jesus did not heal everybody during his time. When he leads you, you move. Knowing your boundary will enable you to focus on your strength and be impactful. The most effective people in the world today, brethren, I'm telling you the honest truth, are people that knows how to say no when they have to. Do you know that even to your own self, when yourself is saying no, you are still pushing. You can only succeed in doing what it leads you to do. When you don't know when to say no and how to say no, it results in having too much on your plate that you can handle. And guess what? You'll be stressful. You'll be frustrated. You'll be miserable. You'll be exhausted because you have gone outside of your boundary. It's important to say no. It's not a sin. It is not a sin. You will become so deteriorated. I'm telling you, you will go off the track when you fail to say no, when you're supposed to say no. Then you are on your own, because when it leads you, that's when it's supporting you. By the time you refuse to yield and to respond, and do not let your continuity affect your common sense, brethren. Please, please. God has given us this thing. You don't need to be a prophet before you see and hear God. I'm being honest with you. He speaks to every of his children. When we listen, you will hear his voice. Always saying yes to everything, to everybody, until you are totally frustrated and exhausted. And the result will be, they're not appreciating me. They can't see what I'm doing. Now you are not impactful anymore. Now you are being stressed. Now you are frustrated. Now you are losing it. Why? Because you should have said no. But you put yourself through it. Now you have more than you can handle. Please, to make impact, do not let ego affect us from identifying what we cannot do and admitting it. We must admit it. We must know what we cannot do. And we must just express it. When we need to stop, we need to stop. It's very, very important. Without me, you can do nothing. So don't think you can do it without me. And if he is not in it, you don't do it. Because if you do it, you cannot get through. And when you cannot get through, you'll be frustrated. When you are frustrated, you can lose your life. The power of no. It's a vitamin in your body. When you need to say no and you respond accordingly, it helps you to focus on what you are good at.
Because if you don't say no, then you are a jack of all trades. You are doing everything. You are serving the homeless. You are serving the widows. You are doing this. You are not going by how he is leading you anymore. You are just going by what, whatever comes, you want to respond to everything. No, you have to take things to him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Let him strengthen you. Let him speak to you. Let him guide you. Let him instruct you. Then when you now take it out, it is not you anymore. It is him doing it through you. You won't even be able to explain how you are doing it. And people will begin to see results. People will be impacted. People will be turning. People will be rejoicing. People will be happy. People will be advancing, progressing, successful. But when you're supposed to say no and you say yes, then it is you. And you can't get it. Praise the Lord. You cannot be master. Let us know that we are not living without dreams. He said, do business till I come, but it comes with instruction. And we have to follow that. Number three, because of our time, be ready to act. Everybody say it together with me. Be ready to act. To be impactful, you have to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you take the step at the right time, you will get the right result. Do you know that it's dangerous to do the right thing at the wrong time? Very, very dangerous. And at the same time, when you're supposed to move and you are staying, then it is dangerous as well. That is why the first step strategy is important. Be in relationship with him. He will be guiding you. He will let you know what to do. When Moses was leading the Israelites in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. When you read that story, when they get to the Red Sea, the Egyptians were following them. The Red Sea in front of them. The Israelite began to cry and shout, Moses, so you brought us here to be destroyed. Moses too, as the leader, was confused. Moses too turned to God. And God said to Moses, why are you calling me? Tell the Israelite to do what? To move on. Move forward. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Go forward to where? Huh? Into what? To Red Sea. Red Sea in the front. And God is saying, why are you calling me? Why are you stopping? Moses, tell them to go forward. What is in your hand? You have Jesus. When you lift him up, the rod of God. It is not just ordinary. Your life is not ordinary. It's not about you, the life that you have. You are special. You are peculiar. You are royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are set apart. You are awesome. You are supernatural. You are not ordinary. Some situation will come in our life that we have to take that step of boldness. Until you take that step, do you know that until the Israelite began to move, the Red Sea did not fight. When God see that you're following the instruction, he instructed you, and you take the step, he's going to make a way. But don't think there will be a way until you move. Praise the Lord. There will be no way. There will be no road. The situation, solution will not be visible until you begin to move. Everybody say move. Yes, move. And it says something in the book of Psalm 32 verse 8. There are three important things in that scripture that we must really, really consider if we want to make impact as we are moving. Because a lot of people just died on the road as they are pursuing what God told them. He said in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you. The first thing is instruction. Everybody shout instruction. Instruction. He is not done yet. He said, when I instruct you, I will now teach you how to go
in that instruction. Because people can receive instruction as they receive, and you can see a lot of people are frustrated and they're saying, God told me. It is true that God told them, but they missed the second part of it. The moment God speaks, they just acted. They did not listen and take the instruction. I can call Henry and say, Henry, please take this to the ushers at the back. I may not want him to go through here, because if Henry is going through here, Prince wants to talk to him, Ifeanyi wants to talk to him, this person wants to talk to him, everybody stopping him and talking to him. I want to instruct him to go this way, and go this way, and go this way. But Henry took the message and he just went, and he didn't get to the back. He lost it. There is one thing to receive instruction. There is another step to receive the teaching in the way that you should go, by carrying out that instruction. Otherwise, if you miss the second part of it, you lost the third part of it. He will not guide you in it. Then you are on your own. Then there is no result. Then it's like, what did I get myself into? But I heard God. God spoke to me. He told me to do this and that, and that is what I did. But did you see the teachings? Did it tell you how? How? There is always how about the things of God. As we do businesses with our life, receive instruction from Him, please wait. After you receive instruction, let Him teach you in the way that is how to carry out that instruction. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't say, oh, I know how to get there. He asked me to take this to the back. Okay, let me just take it. There is a way He wants you to take. And then He promised the third. He said, I will now guide you with my, that is, I will ensure productivity. I will ensure that you yield. I will ensure that there is profit. I will ensure that you gain. I will ensure that there is return. But for that return to come, you must take the instruction in the way that He wants you to take it, not just receiving instruction. The last one. Be ready to change. The fourth strategy to be impactful. Be ready what? To change. Be ready to change. You cannot make impact in people's life if you are not ready to change. Be like them. Praise the Lord. Do you know that some people are so rigid and they are holding what they brought into their marriage, what they brought into the way they are teaching their children, is the way. It's good to hold on to the past and some of the things. We have to be flexible. We have to let God teach us something new as we are going. When you are introducing newness into your action, you begin to see things turning new and new and new as you are going. He may not want you to go in the old way. That's what he said right there. He said, I will teach you in the way you should go. Praise the Lord. Imagine a father of four, a father of six, or whatever. He has experience. Yeah. You know how men talks? Do you know that if you don't change as a man, if you come to talk to me like the way you talk to your children, then it won't go. That's why some people are not penetrating. Because they forget that, okay, this is how I talk to my children. This is not children. This is man. When you are talking to man, you change to a man. When you're talking to a lady, you change, you try to understand them. When you're talking to children, you try and change. Otherwise, you are speaking above their head. When you're talking to youth, you change. Hallelujah. You know, something happened last week. My son texted my wife for a question. Something. So And she responded. She responded to the text, and he texted back. Okay. No, I'm a youth too. No, he said, good looks. Good looks. So my wife was showing me that. Oh, she thought that my son was admiring her. That, oh, you dress well, you look good. Then my daughter was saying that, no, mommy. She's saying, thank you. So to youth, good looks is thank you. Oh, see, they are saying yes. Do you know that before? Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Many of us, we think good looks, okay, oh, good looks. But good looks is thank you. The good look. What did you say? Good looking out. They have numerous of it. When you are with the youth and you want to penetrate, sir, man, you want to make impact, you have to calm down. You have to calm down because you may not understand why they do what they do in the way they do it. And but if you start criticizing and you go to church, don't you understand? And you are a worker, don't you understand? And you do this, are you kidding me? And you take Holy Communion and you start doing all this, and you are a disappointment. You are lost it. And you are a child of God. No. When by the time you bring, see, for you to penetrate, you have to become like. Let's see something before we pray. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. Very, very quickly. See what Paul was saying. And to the Jews, let's read it together. And to the Jews, I became that I might what? I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Verse 21. And to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that what? I might win those who are without. Continue. Verse 22. To the weak. And what? I became weak that I might win the weak. If Paul understand the power of change, I want us to finish it. I have become all things to all men. Because I don't know what I'm doing? No, that I might by all means, save some. Be ready to change. Hallelujah. Be ready to change. Change is good. You have a focus. You know why. You have a boundary. You know why. So that you can communicate in the same language. So that you can flow. You can flow. When you flow, you will be able to penetrate. When you penetrate, you will be able to impact. When you impact, you will see how lives will be bubbling, how people will be excited, how people will be achieving their dream. You will not lose them. You will gain them, and you will be profitable as well. You will be happy. No business. Can I come? We're not talking of open gay and gay sons unlimited. That's not what I'm talking about. When it says do business, it is your life. We must make profit with the life he has given us. That's why I say that we need strategy. I focus on these four things so that we can just bring them home. They are very simple things to remember. Try them. As simple as they look. And you will see. You will see. You will see. You will see. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will cause us to be impactful in this year. And if anything God is laying in your heart, I want you to go with the strength of the world. You can do it. You can do it. Your life is important. Don't look down at it. Don't be frustrated. Treat your life very well. because He has planned. This year, I want you to expect impact, and I want you to give impact. It is two-way. You will impact, and you will be impacted. You will impact, and you will be impacted. You will impact, and you will be impacted. You need impact in your marriage. You need impact in your finances. You need impact in your health. You need impact in your relationship. Any aspect of your life, I want you to rise up on your feet and just begin to thank God.